Along the Yangtze River in the middle of China, one of the largest construction projects since the Great Wall is going on. It's called the Three Gorges Dam, and when completed, it'll be the world's biggest hydroelectric power station. The problem is the dam is already causing massive landslides, polluting drinking water, and displacing at least 4 million. Yes, 4 million people. Filmmaker Young Chang has a documentary out now called Up the Yangtze. Young, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have you ever seduced anyone with a grilled cheese?
Well, no, not exactly, but my grandmother, of all people, my Chinese grandmother, used to make me grilled cheese sandwiches. I'll never forget them. They were excellent, delicious sandwiches.
Why? Besides the fact that they were made, you know, it's very Proustian. They were made by your grandmother.
But exactly.
What was the trick?
I don't know if she had a trick. I think it was a way for her to kind of have a connection to her her Canadian, you know, status. So it was something about making a good grilled cheese sandwich.
There's something so childhoodish about grilled cheese,
there is,
right?
With ketchup.
Oh, yum. Your film tells the story of Chen Boyu, a spoiled 19-year-old only child, and Yu Shui, who's a 16-year-old girl who's grown up living a subsistence life mm-hmm. with her parents along the shore of the river. And both get a job on a luxury cruise liner called the Farewell Cruise. So mm-hmm. will you describe what the Farewell Cruise is?
Well, the Farewell Cruise has been going on since the beginnings of the Three Gorges Dam project. So it's a cruise boat.
Is this like Barbara Streisand's Farewell Tour? It keeps going.
It keeps going. And it really is geared towards Westerners or tourists from around the world to come and just simply wave goodbye, to catch a last glimpse of the disappearing landscape. And it's quite a surreal and ironic sort of journey to know that right below decks, below your very feet, are crew workers whose homes or lives are being directly affected by the flooding of the river.
And I mean, we shouldn't hesitate to mention how beautiful this landscape is that's disappeared.
It's shockingly beautiful. The Yangtze River is considered the lifeline of China. And I mean, I grew up with these sort of stories of the mythology and the history of this landscape. It's very, very important.
In the movie, don't you? You're the narrator.
Right? I am the voice.
And don't you say that it would be, if for us to understand it as Americans, it would be like flooding the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, that was it's certainly kind of like, to give you some scope of what it is, it's like flooding the Grand Canyon. In fact, the reservoir is going to be the size of Lake Superior, one of the Great Lakes. It's that huge.
Now, you were inspired to make this film because you went as a tourist.
I'll never forget it. I went as a tourist and arrived in this city, Chongqing, which is where the film takes place, a municipality of 30 million people, if you can imagine. And arrived at night, it looked like a science fiction film lit up in neon lights. We were at the docks. And the porters, or the formerly known as coolies, carried our baggage on their bamboo shoulder poles. And as we were approaching the waiting cruise ship, a marching band dressed in crisp, starch white uniforms appeared out of nowhere, and they started to play Yankee Doodle Dandy. And that was my inspiration.
That's in the film, and it made me feel so creepy to hear it. I don't know how to deconstruct that psychologically. It just made me feel really creepy.
Well, the contrasts of that country are I find completely inspiring. I mean, it's something to comment on the progress of and the development of that country by looking and using this boat as a microcosm.
And not just the boat, but you focus on these very specific stories mm-hmm. of Yu Shui, the 16-year-old girl, mm-hmm. and Chen Boyu, who's the 19-year-old boy, and they go through the cruises. The cruise ship's recruitment process for
That's
employees.
Right.
What drew you to those two people?
Well, I mean, I not only did I film with Yu Shui and Chen Boyu, or Cindy and Jerry, as they're eventually known as, but I followed a handful of other subjects along the way. From the beginning, though, I knew that Yu Shui and her family would be the center of the film. Just that, you know, they live in such abject poverty along the shoreline, and that I would be capturing a moment of in time where their home would be flooded, and I was very fortunate to have found Yu Shui, and have her to, you know, as a kind of as a real kind of centerpiece to explore the changes of China and have her story be told was quite important. And I knew from the very beginning it would be her. But Jerry's story kind of came about in a funny way. And he's the one who found me, in fact. I didn't find him. And you know, in the film, he's a very kind of aggressive,
arrogant, good-looking guy.
Good-looking capitalist, and he was very aggressive with the camera and wanting to perform and be a part of that process. So, I had no idea what was going to happen to him in the film. So it's quite unexpected.
Did Cindy or Jerry? I mean, they were in a rather bizarre situation. Their families are displaced because of the dam, and yet they're working on a cruise that, in some way, celebrates the dam. Did they have any recognition of this?
No, they did not have any recognition of that. It really went over their heads in terms of the scope of the project. Because, I mean, for Yushui's family especially, it was kind of day to day. They didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow or 2 days down the road or a week down the road. It wasn't part of their expectations. So until I asked at a point in the film, did they realize what was going to happen? Did it sort of sink in? And you see the result of that in a scene in the film. When the mother kind of breaks down, and it was quite emotional. On the other hand, Jerry was, you know, it didn't matter to him. I think this sort of progress is a benefit to the family, to the bigger country, the bigger family.
I want to talk to you about that scene where Cindy's mom breaks down. We can't play a clip because it's in Chinese, so we'll lose something. But Cindy's parents are desperately trying to make their daughter understand their situation. Mm-hmm. And her mother, who up until that point, I was like, she's such a mean mommy. She starts crying and she says, I know it's because me and your father don't have the skills, so we have to exploit you. Mm-hmm. How did you get that level of trust?
Well, the level of
that
trust,
you could film that.
Yeah, that it took a long time. It wasn't immediate. And when the cruise ship hired Yushui, that was in the winter, and we had a good amount of time between when she was hired and when she had to get on the cruise ship in the summer to develop and build that relationship with her at home. And it took a long time. It took an amount of time where we didn't even bring cameras and turn them on, and really building that level of trust, so you didn't feel like you were exploiting your subject, that you're really looking at them with them eye to eye and kind of creating a long-term relationship with the family. Even to this day, Yushui calls me her big brother. Mm-hmm. And that was really important, that the family looked at me in many ways like a mentor for her as she left the boat, left to work on the boat for the first time.
It's really a coming-of-age story, too, especially for her. As we said, Jerry is sort of self-possessed already. Yushui, we're calling her Yushui and Cindy back and forth just so people can follow this. There was a lot of mentions of the word confidence when Cindy and Jerry get their English lessons on board the ship. The instructor talks about confidence a lot. Why was that such an important idea for the people in the film?
That's an interesting question. I think that for the instructor on the boat, and his name was Spencer, I think it was really important for him to create an environment of sort of university of life environment where he felt that he was compelled to make sure these kids, when they left this cruise ship, that they would be enabled with a certain sort of westernization or kind of method of being able to catch up with the pace of society in China. And I think confidence is one of those key, you know, rudiments of that kind of individualism that we come to expect out of being a westernized person. So I think it was very important for Yushui, who's a very shy girl, to have some of that built into her. And I guess she did reach a level of transformation that's quite noticeable during the film.
And yet I feel like that word was very nuanced in the film because it had political overtones. There was a very great sense of you are China's youth. This country is becoming more and more confident and more of a major player in the world stage.
That's a good point. I think that currently China is definitely going through a certain nationalism, patriotism that as the Middle Kingdom, and especially on the cruise boat in this sort of nuanced way, they are representatives, ambassadors of their country. So I think that was another idea that Spencer was trying to put into them.
And then finally, when Spencer fires Jerry, he says, "You are overconfident," which I thought was interesting.
That's right.
Now, were you surprised by all the English lessons that the cruise employees got? I love how they were told very explicitly not to call anyone old, pale, or fat.
Right. I mean, that boot camp process is hilarious. And I think I think I was probably one of the only ones that saw the irony in that. The rest of the kids on the ship took it very, very seriously, and even my Chinese crew were very diligent in making sure they captured every bit of that, because it was very important to know the process and the etiquette of what to do and what not to do in front of Westerners.
Now, last September, the Chinese government grudgingly admitted that there were massive landslides occurring in the region, but they didn't admit that the dam was the cause. What do you think will happen now? Do you think there'll be any changes?
Well, I think that it's almost too late to make any sort of, to turn back the clock on the Three Gorges Dam project. And in many ways, I think the government, or at least the local governments, are scrambling to catch up to fix the solution and or the problem. And there really is no solution. And I think even just recently, I think it was announced that there was a landslide and 200 people were evacuated from a city in Hubei province. I mean, this is going to be the future kind of scar in that region. I think there's going to be many, many environmental problems.
We've got about a half a minute left, but I just want to point out there's this beautiful time-lapse scene in your film where you show Cindy Yushui's family home being covered by water. I understand you're using your film to help them now. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to turn something that's slightly negative into something positive, where we can affect change for the family and do that through the film. So we've started a fund for the family, and we've shown the film in Canada and festivals, and now when we begin our theatrical release, you'll have the opportunity to be able to go to our website after you see the film and donate money to help lift the family out of poverty. And I think that is something very important to be able to give back to them.
We'll make sure that people can check out that link on your website through our website. Yang, thank you very much for joining me.
I had a great time. Thank you.
Yang Cheng's film, Up the Yangtze, is out now. You can find out more about him and the movie on our website, morefairgame.org.